Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to be in your house again this morning. We thank you for freedom, Father God, to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Father, for your angelic hosts who are moving throughout this room today, ministering to your people. And Father God, I also thank you for opening up our spiritual ears so that we can hear this morning what thus saith the Lord. And Father God, let the seed go deep down inside of our spirit man. And let it take root. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I love that first song we sang. I'm sorry. I just wish the whole body of Christ would really grab hold of that and really be sorry for what they've done and repent. Now, this is a hard word this morning. So I'm going to give you a chance to get up and leave if you want to. You are forewarned, all right? And it's titled, Have You Become Unteachable? In 30 days, we'll have a new president, right? And aren't you glad it's going to be over? I mean, we know there's a whole lot more stuff coming, you know, but aren't you glad that election day is only 30 days away? I'm so tired of hearing all the junk, all the lies, and you know, grown men acting like, and women acting like two-year-olds. You know, I just think the body of Christ grows up, and we become true stewards of God's word and character. We need character in the body of Christ. All right, repentance is an honest, regretful acknowledgement of sin with commitment to change. Because God's going to speak and he's going to talk about that. So, repentance is an honest, regretful acknowledgement of sin with commitment to change. Repentance leads us to cultivate godliness while eradicating habits that lead into sin. Repentance leads us to cultivate godliness while eradicating habits that lead into sin. Repentance in the Bible involves a complete and irreversible change of mind, heart and actions. Repentance in the Bible involves a complete and irreversible change of mind, heart, and actions. Repentance recognizes that our sin is offensive to God. To repent means to make an about-face, heart-directed turn away from self to God, from the past to a future ruled by God's commands, acknowledging that the Lord reigns supreme over one's existence. To repent means an about-face, heart-directed turn away from self to God, from the past to a future ruled by God's commands, acknowledging that the Lord reigns supreme over one's existence. So that's what repentance is. So what is unrepentance? Excuse me. What is unrepentance? What does it mean to be unrepentant? An unrepentant person knows that he or she has sinned and refuses to ask God for forgiveness or turn away from the sin. The unrepentant show no remorse for their wrongdoing and don't feel the need to change. Unrepentance is a sin of willfully remaining sinful. King Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, wrote in Proverbs 29:1, whoever remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. That's really a good scripture. Proverbs 29:1, whoever remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. Now, to be stiff-necked is to have a stubborn, obstinate spirit that makes one unresponsive to God's guidance or correction. The stiff-necked are, by definition, unrepentant. And the more I read about this, you know, after God spoke it and I started studying the scripture and everything about it, pride, is the biggest culprit in an unrepentant heart. You're prideful and you become unteachable, and you know more than your teacher knows, and then the enemy has you in his throes. Now, this is what God's saying from this point on. God said, have you become unteachable? Have you hardened your hearts to the extent that I can no longer get into the tiniest crevice? Children, do you honestly think that I'm going to keep turning the other cheek? When are you going to realize that you are in a tug of war? When, and I say once again, when are you going to quit masturbating my word? The final hours of repentance are upon you, and you have yet to repent totally and completely. You are a wayward bunch of sheep that has been going astray for quite some time now. That is very hard words. I think so anyhow. And if those words don't make you sit up and take notice, I don't know if anything will. And Isaiah 53:6 says, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He said, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. This doesn't say one or two. Everybody's gone astray at some point in their life. All right, so don't be pointing your finger and say, well, look what you're doing. Well, you need to stop and think of what you did and the grace of God that brought you from there to where you are today. God said, I have placed you under my prophets. I have given you time after time to repent totally and completely, but to no avail. I am separating the sheep nation from the goat nation, and you are standing on the line and tipping over into the goat nation. What is this going to bring you? I tell you, when and if you tip over into the goat nation, you will find out, and it will be too late to come back. And I think that's a very hard statement. I am separating the sheep nation from the goat nation, and you are standing on the line and tipping over into the goat nation. What is this going to bring you? I tell you, when and if you tip over into the goat nation, you will find out, and it will be too late to come back. And Matthew 25, verse 31 says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, his majesty and splendor, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them, the people, from one another, as a shepherd separates his sheep from the goats. And he will cause the sheep to stand at his right hand and the goats at his left. And God says, my church is splitting Hades wide open. I never intended my children to have a part in the lake of fire. But each and every day, those who call themselves children of God slide down that slippery slope into the eternal damnation of Hades. God said, in my word, I have given you example after example of what happens to those who will not repent and turn from their wicked, evil ways. You don't even consider the souls you are taking down that slippery slope of destruction. You just keep sliding and thinking, I'm doing nothing about it. I give you this promise right now. One day you will shake yourself just like Samson, and I will not be there. This is what you desire. Is this what you desire? Is this what you're planning for your lives? You know, he says, this is what you're planning. You're not following God's plans. And Judges 16:20 says, then she called Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He awoke from his sleep and thought, I'll go out as before and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. That is going on in the body of Christ right now, prophets especially, pastors, evangelists. You wallow in sin and then, well, I'll just go out and just prophesy or I'll just minister like I did before, but God's not going to be in it. Are you listening here? This is very, very serious, whether you know it or not. You're in a very serious time in your walk with God. And yes, this is a time of repentance. And I forgot how many more days is left of it. But this is why God's talking about repentance right now, because you're not going to be able to say, well, you just didn't warn me. I just didn't know. That's not going to work. Now, God said, the books are soon going to be open and each will be held accountable for their actions. You need not think you will be able to blame another, for you'll be standing alone as I read your book of life. You who are always blaming another for your shortcomings, I tell you this moment, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. You're an abomination to me. My son Jesus did not place blame on anyone. He knew his assignment and he carried it through victoriously to the very end. And Revelation 3:16 says, so because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. I personally really get sick and tired of hearing the child of God blame somebody else because they can't get free. That other person not keeping you in bondage, you're keeping your own self in bondage because you're not admitting that you have a problem. Oh, you might say you have a problem, but that problem is because somebody else did something to you. This is not going to cut it with God. It really is not. I hope you each have your own mind. Yeah, I hope that you can make your own decisions in life without having somebody else make them for you. Because if you're a grown-up and you're trying to lead others, you're not going to lead them anywhere because you can't lead your own self. Yeah, don't let them read any further, Nancy. This is a very important thing that's going on in the body of Christ, always blaming somebody else while you cannot get set free. And you need to get this into your spirit today and admit to God, I just don't want to be set free. It's better if everybody feels sorry for me than for me to be set free, because that's exactly the way it is. You know, yesterday, little Isaiah told Gabriel, I'm not going to listen to my mom no more. I just don't have to. So him and I had a little conversation. We had a sit down. And he said, well, I'm sorry I said it. I said, but sorry does not cut it. You've already said it and spoken out there. And then we talked about that for a while. Then later on that night, little Isaiah, he knocked on somebody's bedroom door. When he answered the door, he threw a football in her face. And so I had to go get him and say, why did you do that? That wasn't nice. He said, well, I said, I'm sorry. If that doesn't cut it, I don't know what to tell you. You know, but you can't stand before God and say, you know, if it doesn't cut it. He did later on say, I promise I'll never do that again. But see, this is the way we do God. We spit in his face. I'm sorry, God. Hope that cuts it. Well, you know what? I know that God's getting very sick and tired of that statement. I'm sorry, God. Then you keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. God's upset with the body of Christ because we are not changing. We are staying the same. And we are not vessels of honor that God can work through to win the souls. God goes on to say, my servants in my word suffered sorrow after sorrow, violence after violence, and they counted it all joy. They did not blame me or others, for they knew the joy that was set before them. And James 1:2 says, consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you are involved in or encounter trials of any sort or fall into various temptations. I'm quite sure that when you fall into a trial or tribulation, you aren't counting it all joy. You aren't understanding that God will allow you to go through pressure points in your life to build you up as a strong tower. You aren't realizing that some of these things that God's allowing you to get, you know, happen in your life is because that's a weak area you have, and he's trying to build character in that area. Instead of you allowing God to build character in you, you're blaming God or you're blaming somebody else for your weak points. And God's trying to show you your weak points so you can be strong. So God said, what is your excuse going to be when you stand before me? Oh, you will be in total shock when you see me in all of my splendor. And you have already rehearsed what you will say, but you will not be able to open your mouth and utter not one word. You have absolutely no inkling of what holiness is all about. You're like your father, the devil, and you do as your father does. You live in a world of lies and false accusations. I want to stop there. Every time I read something like this, from the time God started, I thought about Brother Brett, a testimony he gave where one time he had a dream, right? And he was standing there, and everybody he ever did anything bad to was prayed before him, right? And he was able to see everything he did, how he hurt people. I think God needs to do that to more of us, but then I'm just wondering, will it change your heart? Will it change your life? John chapter 8, verse 44 says, you are of your father, the devil, and it is your will to practice the lust and gravity, the desires which are characteristic of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a falsehood, he speaks what is natural to him, for he is a liar himself and the father of lies and of all that is false. Yeah, I was reading an article where this young lady, she was saying about when, as she grew up, her mother and father would take in drug addicts into their home, and they would minister Christ to them and pour love into them. And the bottom line is, within a year, they would have that drug person completely free of drugs. They would have them rehabilitated where they actually had them in a job, and that person was leading a productive life. And so then she, when her parents died and she took over, what she did, she actually started an organization. That's what she's doing. But how many of us have homes where you can bring in a drug addict or a sinner, and you would lead them to Christ instead of leading them further into hell than what they were? I think we really have to think about this morning. What is that, the scripture that goes, you'll travel the seas to find one proselyte and make them 10 times worse than what you are? I told that to my household just yesterday because God brought that to my remembrance. Are you leading people to Christ or away from Christ? Think about it. What are your actions in your home? In your home, what are your actions doing to people that come into your home? And how many of you are sick and tired of sin? Especially if somebody's bringing it into your house. It should just make you want to just pull your hair out sometimes. Because you want to live a godly lifestyle. And then people bring ungodly things into your home and cause you to have to fight the enemy continually because of their backwards ways. God said, you keep digging the hole you're in deeper and deeper. You don't really try to get out. That is all pretense. In Psalm 7, 14 and 15 says, behold, the wicked man conceives evil and is pregnant with mischief and gives birth to lies. He makes a pit, digging it out, and falls into the hole that he has made. Pretense is over, guys. Body of Christ, church, whatever you want to call yourself. Pretense is over. This is reality time. This is what God said to me way back. This is when rubber meets the road. It is time for change or get out. Now, I don't care if that offends somebody or not, because we've been trying to not offend the body of Christ for too long, and the body of Christ is not changing, and the body of Christ is leading others into hell and damnation with them. What are you going to do when you stand before God? And he says, well, why don't you tell them the truth? Well, I didn't want to offend them. Well, you're going to hell because their blood's on your hands. Bye. I don't know about you, but no, I'm not going to carry anybody's blood on my hands when I stand before the Father. You're going to have to tell the truth. And hopefully the truth will set people free. God said, why is it that you can do whatever you desire and expect me and those over you to say it is okay, but yet you won't forgive anyone their trespasses against you? Why is it that you can do whatever you desire and expect me and those over you to say it is okay, but yet you won't forgive anyone their trespasses against you? Oh, God, just work in me, help me, forgive me. But I'm really mad at this person over here who didn't tell me the truth, who led me astray. But you're just over here saying, God, you know, help me, be with me. But don't, I'm not going to forgive them for what they said or did. All right, so you were an idiot and believe something, another child of God told you. That's not their fault. It's your fault for believing it. You have the word. You know how to pray. You know, so you can't blame them. God's not going to allow that. He is not going to allow that. Think about this real hard. All right, God says you are a starved bunch, but the only reason you are starved is because you will not come and dine at my table. You will not eat the fresh manna from heaven. And Isaiah 55:1 says, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come and buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. God's saying, just come. Everything I have for you is free. Just come and dine with me. Come and sup with me. Come and be all that I am in you. And it's all for, I don't want anything. I just want you to come. God says, you are just like the Israelite children wandering in the wilderness. You have hardened your heart to my truths. You have come against my anointed ones and my prophets. You stand at the gate and you will not allow others to enter in. Matthew 23:13, but God, Jesus said, but woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, pretenders, hypocrites, for you shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces, for you neither enter yourselves, nor do you allow those who are about to go in to do so. See that? Blind leading the blind, gnats everywhere is what God said. So I looked up that scripture in Matthew 23:24. It says, you blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. Then Matthew 15:13-14, Jesus answered, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides, and if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. See that? Are you a blind guide? Or are you walking in the heavenly wisdom of God, and you're telling the people the truth, and you're, first of all, you're living the truth, then you're telling the people the truth. I know everybody in this room and everybody's hearing my voice has been going through one of the most horrendous times fighting the devil that you've ever fought in your walk with God. It's been hard, and I mean really hard. And it's hard not to be discouraged at times when you preach and you preach and you preach, or you minister or you show love and there's no change. And so I was at that point yesterday, and my daughter said there was a guy that was living in my house, and you know, I taught him about God, brought him to church a couple times. And he said yesterday, he said, you know, I thank everybody in your house for what they did to me. He said, he called me my mom. He said, my mom is the one that really did the most for me. She led me to Christ. Are you listening to this? He singled me out in the whole household of people that I was the one who really helped him. Because I don't live a double standard. I am who I am. And I do what I preach, I live. And I try to show, well, I do show love to everybody until you get stupid on me. Then I just say, well, okay, you go your way and I'll go mine. And I pray for you. All right? Where am I at here? We read Matthew 13:14, right? All right. God said, I have called you to come forth with great supplications of repentance, but all you bring me is half repentance. I have called and said, I want all of you, not just the 99.9% you tried to offer. Have I not said, if you don't give me 100%, then give me nothing? If I was to take a little quiz here, and you wouldn't lie, I don't think very many would pass that test right now of giving God 100% of themselves. God said, the darkness is closing in around about you, and you are too blind to comprehend what is happening to you. I told you this was hard. Where is the holiness that I have been calling for? Where is the true repentance? Ask yourself these questions this day. You want another word, and I'm not speaking another word until you truly repent. Turn from your wicked evil ways and serve me from the very depths of your heart. And God says, do you think I do not see the deplorable way you treat my anointed ones I have placed over you? Do you think I'm a blind God that does not see everything you do, even in the darkness? Look deep inside your heart and see how truly dark it is. Be honest with yourselves and cry out to me with your whole heart. God is tired of the pretense and the playing that the body of Christ is doing. I would be trembling in my shoes right now if I wasn't serving God with all of my heart, if I didn't have a true, deep fear of God. I do not want to fall in the hands of a wrathful God. You won't like it. God said, my son Jesus hung on his cross, and he said, it is finished. When those words were spoken, all hell trembled, for they knew what those words meant. But not you. You still give the enemy power and authority over your lives. You still stand in the shadows of compromise, and you still hold on to those things that give you so much pleasure. Do you not know that hell is filled with people like you? Do you not know that at any given second when you are indulging in your sin, that you could die and spend eternity in the throes of hell? Oh, how you are deceived. I tell my kids all the time, I say, right now, what you're doing, if you die this second, you go straight to hell. You will not go to heaven. I'm really trying to drill that into their minds and their spirit that they have to be living right all the time, not just every now and then time. God said, when the great fanfare is all over and hell is filled, only then will you understand what this is all about. You could have avoided the gates of hell. You could have been standing in heavenly places with your heavenly Father, but you chose the darkness of this world, and you lived in that darkness, never allowing the light of truth to penetrate that darkness, and then it would be too late. You know, when he said back here, you want another word, and he said, if you notice, I'm not allowing anybody to prophesy in here. Because as God said, I do not want anybody to get another word. They need to start living the words I've already given them. Well, I need to hear from God because I'm in trouble. Then if you need to hear from God and you're in trouble, then you go to God. And you cry out to him, you let him speak to you. Are you listening to what I'm saying? It is time that you really grow up and become a true child of God. Now, you know, from the first time I started church, God told me you were the second John the Baptist. And you're going forth to prepare the way for the second coming of Jesus. And we know that what John the Baptist did was cried repentance. And that's what I've always taught was repentance. But God's just getting harder with it. Why? Because the days are darker. The days are shorter. And God needs to do a perfect work. I've about ready to say before time runs out, but time's not going to run out for God. He's going to do what he has to do to get everything done on time. I'm going to read that paragraph over again. When the great fanfare is all over and hell is filled, only then will you understand what this is all about. You could have avoided the gates of hell. You could have been standing in heavenly places with your heavenly Father, but you chose the darkness of this world. And you lived in that darkness, never allowing the light of truth to penetrate the darkness, and then it will be too late. God said, you have made yourselves the goat nations. You cannot blame anyone else for your fall. You will listen to your mother, father, sister, and brother that are not saved, but you will not listen to the blood of my Son that cries out for justice. That's why you see the goat and sheep and everything in the bulletin this week is because of what God was prophesying. And the pride on the front is because God has shown me this pride that's make people stay in sin. And they're unteachable. And they're hardened their heart to the point that God can't get through. In Matthew 25, 31 through 34, we read this in the beginning, but I'm reading it again. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne, and before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people from one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. It's up to you which one you go to. Totally up to you. God has nothing to do with it. I don't have anything to do with it. And the person you're blaming doesn't have anything to do with it. It's your choice. It's your decision. You're the one who got yourself into your problem, you know, and now you're going to have to fight to get out of it. And I'm not being ignorant, but you want everybody else to get you out of it, but you willingly stepped into it. You're going to have to fight to get out of it. I tell you, I spent a year because I was told God I was going to, whatever I was going to do, I was going to do. He said, all right, go ahead. And he let me be alone for a whole year, and I had to fight my way through till that year was up, and I'll never do it again. Well, he said, everybody said, you need to be upset over what that pastor did to you. And I wasn't upset, but everybody told me I needed to be. And I said, okay, I'm just going to be upset. And God said, don't go there. I said, I will if I want to. He said, okay, you go ahead. And he left me. One whole year, I had to pay for that stupid statement. One whole year. And I wasn't even upset. Everybody else told me I should be. Are you understand what I'm saying here? I got myself into the hole. I had to get myself out of the hole. Where are we at here? Woe, woe, woe to those who sit in my houses of worship and profess to be mine, but are truly of the synagogue of Satan. My word talks about sheep in wolf's clothing that are sitting in my houses of worship, but you do not have to be partaker of their destruction. Just because, you know, grace is in sin doesn't mean that Alice has to be in sin. You know what I'm saying? Grace and Alice both have their own minds. They're just names I've made up, right? So quit blaming somebody else for what you really want to do. But you don't want to admit that you have an evil thought in your head, and so you're going to say somebody else made you do it. You can cry out to a living God that formed you in your mother's womb and then breathe his life into your nostrils. Well, let's start that again. My word talks about sheep in wolf's clothing that are sitting in my houses of worship, but you do not have to be partaker of their destruction. You can cry out to a living God that formed you in your mother's womb and then breathe his life into your nostrils. Does not my word tell you that my ears are constantly in tune for your voice of repentance? Does not my word tell you that I am a father full of grace and mercy? Then what are you doing still wallowing in the pigsty of sin? What is holding you back from hearing the voice of a father that is weeping over you even this very moment? God said, I am still crying out for repentance. I am still holding out my hands of mercy and grace. I am still listening for your true repentance, not the fake. I am that I am is everywhere, and I see and know all things. For your information, I am never deceived, so get that out of your head and heart and turn from your wicked evil ways and serve the God that created you. Then God said, I stand at the door and knock, but no one is listening. Be not deceived like the five foolish virgins. All right, Matthew 25:10 says, but while they were on their way to buy, this is the foolish virgins, while the foolish five foolish virgins were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Oh, I want to repent. Today I want to repent. Lord, too late. You should have repented yesterday. The door is shut. You can't come in. I'm not listening. You know, I've always wanted to go to heaven, but God's never taken me there. But he did take me to hell 3 times. And that changed my... He had to do that because I felt, well, if you want to sin and go to hell, that's your business. Just go ahead and do that. But God wanted me to see what happens when you go to hell. And it is not nice. Not nice at all. So that did change my heart towards people like that. But now you know what? God's been doing that for 20-some, 30-some years. And now he's saying, if you don't want me, I'll shut the door. I've given you time to get it together. And you've decided you still like the sinful nature. Don't come to me and ask me if God has shut the door on you. What you need to do is you need to go to God and say, God, have you shut the door? It's you that has to cry out to God, not me. I do my own crying out to God, you know, on my own behalf. It's you, because I've prayed for you. I've taught you what the word God tells me to teach you. I give these messages that God gives you. There's nothing else I can do. I'm sorry I'm not into changing diapers and warming bottles anymore. There's a whole world of drug addiction out there that we need to minister to. And right now, God's really given me a heart for drug-addicted people. I really wept yesterday when I found out somebody got busted. I mean, it was God. He said, this is where he's at right now. He's going to clean up the drug-addicted. And that's who's going to be preaching the gospel. Not you guys sitting here in the house of God that you've been sitting under the word year after year after year and you didn't change. Because those people out there, I know for a fact, do not want to do drugs. Most of them got caught on drugs through doctors, and they don't know how to get out of it. Well, God's making a way. He's bringing a new face. He's bringing a new fresh anointing on these people. And that's who he's going to use, because you didn't want him to use you, because you wouldn't change. You need to be telling this to some of the people you witnessed to. You know, God's not always going to chide with you. He's not always going to be pulling at you. You have to make a choice whether you want him or whether you want the world. All right, the Apostle Paul warned of the consequences of unrepentance in Romans 2, verse 5 through 9. But because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. The word was impotent. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. In verse 6, it says, He will render to each one according to his works. To those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek. There is a judgment coming. The results of righteousness will be beautiful, but the consequences of unrepentance will be harsh, according to God's word. The book of Revelation shows how hardened slash accustomed to sin the sinner can be. During the tribulation, after three different judgments of God, the wicked will remain unrepentant despite their great suffering. Revelation 16, 8 through 11 says, The fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and it was allowed to scorch people with fire. They were scorched by the fierce heat, and they cursed the name of God who had power over these plagues. What they do to God, they curse him, and that's going on today. They did not repent and give him glory. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was plunged into darkness. People gnawed their tongues in anguish and cursed God and cursed the God of heaven for their pain and sores. They did not repent of their deeds. That is going on in the house of God right now. They hear this type of a message. And it's saying, thank you, God, forgive me that type of message so that I can get my heart right. They're cursing God and asking God, why are you judging me? After all, brother and sister, so-and-so brought me down this road. It's not going to work. If we have children and the children aren't serving God, they can't stand before God and say, well, it's my mother or my father's fault. No, it's your fault. Because you've heard the gospel, you know the truth, and the truth is supposed to set you free. It's up to you to walk out your own salvation. Nobody, no matter how much we, and I've really wanted many times walk out other people's salvation, but God told me, you need to quit because you can't. He said, if I can't do it, Holy Spirit can't do it, what makes you think you're God and you can do it? See, you cannot change a person's heart. All you can do is be an example before them, tell them the truth. By example before them, I mean you need to be living 100% for God, living a holy and righteous life, and not compromising God's word in any way, shape, or form. And right now, if you're really trying to get things straightened out and around about you, you're finding yourself in one of the biggest battles you ever have been in your life. And the enemy doesn't care what he throws at you. He doesn't care what he does to you. He just wants to destroy you. So, yes, God started out, we're in a tug of war. Jesus wants you. Satan wants you. He said, when are you going to realize you're in a tug of war? He's been telling this church that for quite a few years now. Do you finally realize you're in a tug of war? Do you really understand that the devil is vying for your life every single solitary second of every single solitary day? If he had you in a vice, do you think he's going to just say, oh, well, I'm just going to try something different? No, he knew that vice always got you. He's going to stay with that thing that always got you. You're the one that's going to have to let the devil know, no, I'm not going down that road ever again. I don't care what you have to do. Quit going down that road. Quit giving in to the wiles of the enemy. Quit trying to use other people as a scapegoat for your sin. Come on. I mean, you know, if that would work, I could be the biggest whatever in the world, because I could accuse everybody for everything goes on in my life. And it really would be the truth. Jesus did not blame us because he had to go to the cross. And Jesus, he was upset in the Garden of Gethsemane because he even said to his disciples, can't you even pray with me 1 hour? I don't think he said that nicely. He was upset. He wanted companionship in his last hours, but even his disciples wouldn't stay awake and have companionship with him. They went to sleep. He could have said, well, God, you know, Father, they just wouldn't stay awake, and so I decided I'm not going to go to the cross now. Why should I go to the cross after all? Look what they did. Couldn't he have? He didn't do that. He went away and talked to the Father. And he said, I really don't want this cup, God, but if you want me to take it, I'll take it. Your will be done. And he drank the cup that he had to drink. Now, there, in the body of Christ, if you're a true leader, if you're true to walk in holiness and righteousness, God has placed hard assignments in your path. And you're going to have to say, God, if this is what you want to say, God, if this is a cup I have to drink, then I have to drink it. Are you understanding this? If this is a cup that I have to drink to be one day sitting in a heavenly place with you, then I'm going to drink it. I don't care what kind of pain it brings you. I don't care how it upsets your life. God knows you. And he would not place you in an assignment that you could not withstand. Our flesh sometimes just flat doesn't want to do it. But we have to die out. This is when you've died out to the flesh. Because when you know you, God has put a place assignment on you, and you're saying, God, enough is enough. And he said, no, not finished yet. We have to go a little bit further in this. So you have to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, right? And keep on going. I'm so glad my earthly father taught me that at a very young age. He said, you reach down, you pull yourself up by your bootstraps, because nobody else will. When you're down, they'll kick you. So I just make sure I'm never stay down long enough for somebody to kick me. I jump back up again. I might not jump up with joy, but I jump up back again, because I'm not going to have the devil say, I got you. Come on. You sit in a service like this and you're doing your own thing. It's not even affecting you. Where do you think you're going to end up at? I see young kids in here writing or scribbling or looking around for all their hair. They're so disgusted they have to sit here and listen to this. Well, when you end up in hell, you're going to wish you would have listened. When you're in hell, you're going to wish that you would have given God your full, undivided attention. I'm hearing God say, this is a day of recognition. You have to recognize where you're at and quit blaming somebody else. This is a time whenever you have to understand that you have to walk out your own salvation. Somebody else isn't making you walk out the wrong salvation. And this is a day that you need to repent, truly repent, and don't ever again go back to your sins ever again. The altar's open for that.